שלום, אנחנו נקרא
בספר. We're going to read from Rabash Essays, page 722, What is Preparation for Slichot? Forgiveness. It is known that for anything we want, we must prepare the means to obtain it. Accordingly, what must one prepare in order to receive slichot, forgiveness? In corporality, we see that one does not say to another, sorry, unless he has done something that harmed the other person in terms of money, honor, or bodily harm, by causing him some injury. In that case, it can be said that one should ask for the other's forgiveness, to forgive the wrong that he has done to him. There are two things to discern here. One, if he did not do anything to him, but he is asking him for forgiveness, the other person will look at him as though he is insane. If we saw someone walking on the street saying to everyone, sorry, sorry, we would certainly think that he is mad. Forgiveness pertains only to some felony. Two, if another person causes a great loss to another person and apologizes as though he did something small, he will certainly not receive what he asks for, since he has done a great offense, but he apologizes as though he did something small. It is inconceivable that he will forgive him. Rather, one measures the severity of the damage that he has done to his friend and to that extent chooses the means that will make his friend forgive him. We see in corporal conducts how people behave concerning forgiveness among people. And from the conduct between men and men, we should apply the same order between men and God. That is, when one comes to ask the Creator for forgiveness, to forgive his sins, the two above discernments apply as well. One, that you do not apologize for anything, but only for hurting another, or you will be perceived as insane, or that you are mocking the other by asking his forgiveness. Two, the request for forgiveness should match the measure of harm to the other. Therefore, when one comes to ask the Creator to forgive his sin against him, that he blemished his honor, one must think about his sin against the Creator. This is so because if a person does not feel any sin, yet asks for forgiveness, it is as though he is joking. He is yelling and crying and asking the Creator's forgiveness, when he does not feel that he has damaged the King's glory whatsoever. The reason why a person does not feel his sins is, as our sages said, if a person commits a transgression and repeats it, it becomes to him as permitted. This is the reason why a person does not feel his sins when he comes to ask the Creator for forgiveness. It follows, according to the second discernment, meaning discerning the measure of the sin, that first one must acknowledge the measure of the flaw that he has flawed in the glory of the king. Otherwise, you cannot speak of forgiveness. Thus, one should try as much as possible to be able to ask that he will forgive his sins according to his sins, meaning that they will be of equal weight. Our sages also said that to the wicked the sins seem like a hair breadth, and to the righteous they seem like a high mountain. The question is, what does this seem mean? That is, they said, seem to them, but what is the truth? The thing is that when one does not notice before whom he sins and does not feel the importance and the greatness of the Creator, he is faithless. At that time, when he begins to think, but I'm a Jew as well, and since now is the month of Elul, and it is customary in Israel throughout the generations that since this is a month of mercy, and anyone who is regarded as Israel knows that now is the time to ask the Creator for forgiveness for the sins of the house of Israel. Also, we blow the shofar so man's heart will begin to contemplate repentance for sins. At that time, one believes that he, too, must have sinned and must ask the Creator for forgiveness. However, what is the measure of the flaw that he has blemished the king? A person cannot feel this feeling. Rather, to the extent of one's faith in the greatness of the Creator, he can assume the measure of the flaw that he has caused by his sins. Therefore, all those who come to ask for forgiveness without any preparation as to what they are forgiven for are as one who is asking forgiveness of someone, although he did terrible thing to him, which require true remorse for his actions. Yet, he is asking forgiveness as though he did something insignificant. Naturally, the request for forgiveness is also without real value, as it should be for a real sin. It follows that before one comes to ask forgiveness, he must first reflect on the core of the sin. Afterwards, he can consider the sins that were caused by the core of the sin. One should know that the core of the sin with which one blemishes and from which all the sins extend is that one is not trying to have permanent faith. If he has partial faith, he settles for it. It is as written in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot that if he had permanent faith, that faith would not let him sin. That is, he asks forgiveness from the Creator, since he sees that the real reason for all the sins is that he lacks permanent faith. Therefore, he asks the Creator to give him that strength, meaning to have the ability to always have faith steadfast in his heart. Naturally, he will not come and commit sins and blemish the glory of the Creator, because he has no feeling of the greatness of the Creator, and because he does not know how to appreciate the glory of heaven and how not to harm it. Therefore, he asks forgiveness from the Creator to help him and give him the strength to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason, meaning to have the power to overcome and strengthen in faith in the Creator, and to know how to behave between man and God with some reverence. This means that when one reflects, he will see that he needs only one thing, to reflect on the difference between Jew and Gentile, for which we bless each day. Blessed are you, O Lord, for not making me a Gentile. But one does not pay much attention to what he says, for not making me a Gentile. That is, he does not consider himself in what way he is Israel and not a Gentile. We must know that the main distinction is in faith. Israel believes in the Creator, and a Gentile has no faith in the Creator. Once he knows that difference, he must check his measure of faith in the Creator. meaning, as it is written in the introduction to the Ten Sefirot, how much he is willing to make concessions for his faith in the Creator.
So faith in the Creator means that he's willing to bestow contentment to the Creator, briefly, the force of bestowal, faith, if he has a tendency to that. He's called Yashar Kel, Israel. If not, he belongs to what he writes, the nations of the world.
Then he will be able to see the truth, meaning, if he is willing to do things only for the sake of the Creator, and not for his own sake, or is he willing to work for the Creator only to a small extent, meaning that God forbid he should not blame his self-love, or else he will not be able to do anything. It therefore follows that then is the time when he can see the truth, his true measure of faith in the Creator. For from this he can see that all the sins stem only from this reason. By receiving preparation and qualification, when he comes to ask the Creator to forgive his sins, he can assume the true measure of the flaw, meaning in what way he has blemished the glory of the King. And he will know what to ask of the Creator, meaning what sins he has sinned, and which he must correct so as not to sin again. Now we can understand what is written in the portion Nitzavim, standing. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not beyond you, nor is it far. It is not in heaven, and not beyond the sea. For the matter is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, to do it. The words for this commandment, to which commandment is he referring? We should also understand the meaning of, it is not beyond you. The thing is that the core of the mitzvah is the mitzvah of faith, meaning to believe in the Creator. Afterwards, we can keep his mitzvot. All the slanders and all the obstructions come to the mitzvah of faith.
To believe means to bestow to the Creator, and not to believe in saying, it exists, he exists, everything's okay, I believe he exists. No. Bestowing to the Creator is called faith in the Creator.
The body begins to ask many questions, both questions that the body itself is asking and questions about faith that the body hears other people. They come to a person when he wants to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, as an ox the burden and as a donkey to the load, meaning everything above reason. Suddenly, the body becomes smart and begins to investigate and ask who and what. Under no circumstances does it let it take upon ourselves the mitzvah of faith. The body's questions are so strong that one cannot answer its questions. Then a person becomes bewildered and does not have the strength to overcome its just arguments according to the reason by which it is asking. The body's questions are a true wonder. The writing tells us about this, for this commandment, meaning the commandment of faith, is not beyond you. That is, you do not need to answer the body's questions, which it asks within reason, since the mitzvah of faith is built specifically above the intellect. That is, the external mind, which was given to man, cannot attain it. This is why you do not need to answer its bewildering questions. Instead, one must believe that all the questions that the body asks do not come in order for you to answer them. It is so to the contrary. These questions come to a person so as to give him a place to believe above reason. Otherwise, If the body understood with its intellect that a person wants to work for the Creator, it would be within reason. This would be called knowing, not believing. For precisely where one's mind does not grasp, there, if he does something, it is purely on the basis of faith. It therefore follows that one does not need to be very talented in order to be able to answer the body's questions, since all the answers are above reason, called faith. This is regarded as it is not in heaven and not beyond the sea, requiring great tactics. Rather, it is utterly simple, and it is called, it is in your mouth and in your heart to do it. Meaning, if there is only a desire in the heart, then we can overcome. But a matter of above reason requires clarification, since there are many discernments to make there. Baal HaSulam said that above reason means that one should depict for oneself how he would keep Torah and Mitzvot if his reason determined that it is worthwhile to engage in Torah and Mitzvot. That is, if he felt the taste that is in each and every mitzvah. One must believe that as there are corporal pleasures, such as pleasures of eating, drinking, and respect, etc., where each thing tastes differently. We must also believe that there is a special taste in each mitzvah. Accordingly, if he tasted the change of flavors during his engagement in Torah and Mitzvot, what excitement and vitality he would feel during his work. Reason would compel him to create for himself an image in the work that is suitable for the servant of the Creator. He would look at all the things that want to disrupt him from his work as inconsequential, unworthy of his attention. According to the above mentioned depiction, which he depicts to himself within reason, he should make the same depiction above reason. That is, although he does not feel that there will be something that reason supports, he still works precisely as if he has strong reason and feeling. When he does this, it is regarded as working above reason. However, as long as he feels that if he had reason, he would be serving the Creator more willingly and more consistently, then he is still working within reason, since there is still a difference between reason and above reason. Precisely when it makes no difference to him, it is regarded above reason.
Questions? Yes, Nasi.
It says here, because a person must believe that all the questions that the body is asking come only not for him to answer, to the contrary. They come to a person so that he will have room to believe above reason.
He means not to answer them within reason, but to rise above them.
So we can understand from here that the ego is the quality of bestowal. Everything he does is for one's benefit.
Wait. The fact that the whole ego is the quality of bestowal wasn't right. The fact that you rise the ego, that the ego grows in order for a person to ascend to the quality of bestowal, that's true. Next. Yes, Shamil.
In the text, it talks about eating, drinking, and respect has a different level of pleasure. And the spiritual pleasure, it talks about to feel spiritual taste in different in every mitzvah. What is it trying to say, Rav?
Tanuk.
Pleasure. Doesn't matter. Pleasure. If you drink, or if you eat, or if you sleep, or you rest when you're tired, you feel pleasure. Pleasure, it's like, I don't know, a kilo of calories. It's something that doesn't have exactly a measure of what you're enjoying from, but a greater pleasure, a smaller pleasure. It's a fulfillment. That's it. Yeah, who wanted yes, Terence. Give it to Terence.
What's the difference between forgiveness in corporeality and forgiveness of the Creator?
In corporeality, you're just doing it. It could be for no reason and not from your heart, but, you know, to reach some kind of settlement with a person. And forgiveness before the Creator is something you have to do in action. It won't help you to start praying all day, you know, asking, and just hitting yourself on your heart. That won't help you. To do all kinds of rituals. With the Creator, you speak from your heart, from the middle of your heart, the center of your heart. That if you want to give contentment to the Creator, you need to at least to reach some kind of equivalence of form with Him.
What I don't understand is, if the Creator does everything, then why am I supposed...
The Creator did everything. He created a world, a horrible world, full of suffering, full of problems, full of concerns. He created you, stubborn, stupid, that doesn't know and doesn't understand, that doesn't want anything. He did it all.
Maybe it's the Creator, we need to say slicha.
He went to English, huh?
So perhaps it's the Creator who should ask for forgiveness. I didn't do anything.
I agree with you, right? The Creator should say sorry for all of reality, right?
I didn't do anything.
But if you take him to court somewhere, so he'll explain why he did it. And it turns out that he did it for our benefit. It turns out that we are guilty that we're not taking these conditions, because with them we can succeed. He gave us a condition that you use the world correctly.
So I agree to work the work of the Creator, but why should I ask for forgiveness? I don't understand.
Forgiveness isn't what you say to a regular person. Forgiveness means that you reveal as much as your thoughts and desires that the Creator created in you aren't good, and you finally discovered it, and now you can correct it.
Rav, can you explain once more
the paragraph before the last. And according to this above mentioned depiction, when he depicts himself within reason, he should make the same depiction above reason. That is, although he does not feel that there will be something that the reason supports, he still works precisely as if he has strong reason and feeling. When he does this, it's regarded as working above reason. That means, even though I don't see any benefit in bestowal, and I don't understand what or why you have to do it for, but I am doing it because by this, I'm in equivalence of form with the Creator. Why? I don't know. I also don't know what equivalence of form is. That's what I was taught. I was told by the sages. Rabash writes, that's what I have to do. And if I do that, then from doing that, from those efforts, the quality of bestowal will truly be revealed, and that I will even have to work above it every time. Meaning, even if I will reach the quality of bestowal, and I'll be in it, how should I reach a higher quality of bestowal? So I'll have to cancel all of my reason, all of everything I revealed, everything I know, and raise a higher degree in faith and bestowal against the reception above my reason. Yeah?
So faith above reason.
No.
Becomes reason constantly.
Faith above reason that I'm going to attain now will be in reason. And afterwards, I'm going to have to even go to a greater faith above reason. Yeah. Every time above reason becomes reason. Again, above reason, that becomes reason. And that's how I ascend.
This is something a person should do by himself?
It's not by himself. He doesn't have forces.
If I see that I attain faith above reason,
criticism.
Then I need to criticize that state. That what I do obtain is within reason, and I'm searching for.
I am now performing an action of bestowal against my desire, against my brain, against my feeling. Why? That's what's written. And I'm going to go and bestow within the group. And in the group, I want to bestow to the Creator. Creator, I don't know what it is, I don't feel it, but I do it in the group. Because I believe that what I'm doing in the group, that's what comes to the Creator. To the extent that I did enough exertion, so it's revealed to me that I bestow. And I'm in the quality of bestowal. And what's revealed to me is that I reached some kind of equivalence of form with the Creator. That I start feeling this upper light that in somewhat shines upon me, fills me. It depends on the state. Okay, so this is what I receive now. This is already called reason. Reason. What happens next? I have to go above it. To an even higher faith.
How?
How do I do it? Just as I did back then. Meaning, what I'll go and see, I have to shut my eyes as if I don't know and don't understand and can't feel anything. And also the Creator helps me and lowers me from this degree to an even worse state as I was before, than I was before. And from this present state, which is dark, without any faith in the reason where the whole world is reception and not bestowal, the whole world is in darkness, I try to rise to faith number two in bestowing to the friends, through them to the Creator. I exert, receive faith number two, attain a spiritual degree, and then I'm filled with light of degree number two. And so on.
That's clear, but how do I know? Well, time is time. How do I know that it's time to rise? If I reach faith number two, then how do I know that now I have to look for a higher faith, because I'm in faith number two, and perhaps I enjoy it, everything is perfect. When do I know that this is the limit?
There's no limit. No limit.
Not the limit. Have not the limit that is the limit of the state, but the limit that I need to.
In this current degree, yes.
I should not wait here. I need to find the next step. When
you are always searching for the next degree. That's how it is. We're going to scrutinize it. It's still, the questions are a bit more advanced. We'll go through all these stages together. Okay?
No.
What?
How the importance of the quality of bestowal becomes fuel to draw the light that reforms at any state.
The importance of the quality of bestowal depends as much as we build that importance. As much as we build that importance. It's not that we attain the quality of bestowal and its importance. I don't want, just understand what's going on here. I don't want the quality of bestowal to be revealed in me in its importance, because then I'll use its importance as fuel. It will already not be in order to bestow. In order to bestow happens if I work against reason, against the darkness. And in this way, I bestow.
Faith above reason. Is it the order of degrees, lower, uppers, and uppers, upper?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't understand the question, but the sentence is correct. Yeah.
He writes that there should be no difference between a state of reason when he is within reason and he wants to operate, work on above reason. There should be a difference.
Yeah, the force of faith has to be like the force of reason.
What does it mean that a person works without any difference between these two states?
When we have reason, we work, how to say it? In a determined way, we want to attain something. We know what to do. We know what we're doing it for. We know what we're going to receive under the condition we succeed with this. It's all in reason. That's how we work in the current reality. It's all built in such a way. That's how it's called. Life according to reason. According to knowing that each one understands that this is how it's supposed to be. Now, life which is above reason, it's only from me taking what I'm told by my sages, by my teachers, and working according to this. According to what are you getting importance in the study right now? You feel that maybe in this, yes, that, no, but also we are taking this study within reason. But in such a way to ascend to spirituality, that's not possible. Into spirituality, you ascend against your mind, against your reason, in the darkness. Yeah.
A person who gets resistance about the opposes the actions he has to do.
Yeah.
And then, how does he work without a difference from a state where he has powers, impression, how?
You constantly forget about the light that reforms, that the upper force comes, and gives us forces to work against against reception.
So he gets forces.
Yeah, obviously, otherwise how will I work?
So there's a set where the body opposes, it cannot do anything.
But if you decide, you have the forces to keep going.
So the decision determines whether you receive the light or not?
Yes. Okay? Yeah.
You said in the morning lesson something that I heard, it was new for me, that we're not asking for faith, we're asking the Creator for strength to hold on to faith above reason. As if I receive faith, I will lose my freedom, my independence.
Well, maybe I said it about something, okay?
So when do we really get faith, the force of to bestow? If I receive it, then I will lose my independence?
According to your investment.
So we receive the force of faith, or don't we?
Obviously we do.
So if I receive it, then I'm stuck.
Guys, don't be wise. I don't want to speak about such things. Weird things. You don't have that yet or this yet, and you don't understand any of them yet, and you're starting to get complicated about it. What is that helping you? What does it give you? I don't want such questions. Sorry. I respect you, but those questions I'm not taking. We are not touching anything about that, and we're already starting to ask about it. There's still nothing to ask about. No, not about that. There's a limit as much as we can philosophize about things we're not attaining. It'll just confuse us. Just confuse us. That's called his wisdom is more than his actions. Understand, in such a way, I can't continue.